answer. Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And welcome back to Hour 3 of Rosie on the House, where we talk about anything and everything having to do with the maintenance, the repair, or the remodeling of your house, your home, your castle, or your cabin. From the bottom of the foundations to the top of the rooftops and everything in between. If you have a question about your Arizona home, give us a ring. We actually took two calls a couple weeks ago about a mini home in North Carolina. And you know what? I've been building and remodeling a long time, but I've never driven a nail in a home in North Carolina. Never even driven a single nail. So if your question is about an Arizona home, whether you're in the desert, vast plains of Bouse, Arizona, or Wickiup, Arizona, the hill country, there at the Santa Maria River, or in Flagstaff, or in the White Mountains, Eager, Springerville, Nutrioso, Sholo, down in Tucson, Bisbee, Marana, wherever you are in Arizona, if you have a question about something on your home, give us a ring, and we will put our 47 years of building and remodeling Arizona homes to work for you for free. But call us now. Some of you have gotten to the point of knowing the phone rings at the office all week long, and you wait and call us during the week. Well, during the week, it is really hard for me to peel off from everything else we're doing and take a bunch of phone calls. That's why we show up every Saturday to answer your questions by phone. It's free. The phone call is free. Toll free. 1-888-767-4348. So whether you're a newcomer to Arizona or you've been here your whole life, if you're about ready to tackle a project at your home, don't even start until you check with us and let us give you the information that's the most pertinent and up-to-date on what products you should be using, what techniques and tricks of the trade and tips and brand names that we have found work the best right here in Arizona. Now, I know from the email and the newsletters and the comments I get when I'm out in public appearances, how appreciative many of you are on what we've done by providing this service for the last 36 years. And I've always asked y'all, you know, if I've ever saved you time or saved you money on a project around your house or kept you from being taken advantage of, from unscrupulous service providers, I would appreciate it if you would just take 10% of what I saved you and donate it to the charity of your choice. And that's the way we pay forward in our community what we're trying to do here in providing a safe environment for Arizona homeowners. Now, I've changed that for this year. And the time for you to make good on this favor I'm asking of you is running short, because it's very, very easy to do when you're filing your Arizona state income taxes. You will simply have the option of paying the amount you owe the state, or you can redirect your income tax liability to a charitable gift donation. It's a dollar-for-dollar trade-off. It costs you nothing if you're paying taxes to simply say, I don't want my taxes to go to the general revenue account of the state of Arizona. I want my income tax liability to go to the charity of my choice. And I'm asking if you wouldn't pick Habitat for Humanity. And when you do, go on their donate page. They will have a pull-down under the designation, and the Rosie on the House home is listed right there. Designate Rosie on the House as your Arizona state tax charitable credit. Take it, and know that you're donating to a home we will build under the Rosie on the House banner at Habitat for Humanity. And years ago, we teamed up with Habitat for Humanity because they're in the same industry we are in, housing. And I got to checking them out, and it ends up they are so efficient with every dollar given. Their overhead fee for admin and fundraising and events is a minuscule amount. The amount of the dollar that you donate that goes into putting that house up is absolutely phenomenal, north of 90%. And that's just incredible in charitable organizations. Many of them have an overhead and admin burden of 30 and 40%. Habitat doesn't. That's one of the reasons we at Rosie on the House support them. And I tell you what, I would like to thank a phone call, a conversation I had with a Mr. Jonathan Baker. And he's down in Casa Grande. And his firm is called the Trusted Accounting Partners. And they are tax preparation specialists. And he just wanted us to know that, hey, we are going to mention to every one of our clients that are filing taxes that that's an option. And we're going to do everything we can to support you. And they're not the only tax preparation specialist and or CPA that has let us know that. So I'd like to tip my hat and thank those of you tax preparation specialists that are taking the time and the opportunity to mention it to your clients who you can see owe the tax and give them the option to direct it and support Rosie on the House. The time's running out with tax season coming due here very quickly in about 10 days. Let's see if we can't get a large influx of people supporting the Rosie on the House build at Habitat for Humanity, Central Arizona. And thank you, Mr. Baker, at Trusted Accounting Partners in Casa Grande. We get a lot of questions, and there's one that I've been researching for about a couple weeks. And the question is, I'm sitting in my home, and there is creaking and popping in my roof rafters and my trusses, my ceiling joists. What could that possibly be? So I actually reached out to our framing contractor, in particular, our engineer that we use at our remodeling company, Mr. David Pounders at Alta Arizona Engineering. And he says, now look, there can be a lot of reasons for this. But before I start explaining it to you, you need to know, us engineers call it the witchcraft of structural engineering.
Witchcraft.
The witchcraft of structural engineering. Because that can be caused by so many things. We call it thermal swelling. Every product grows and shrinks depending on the temperature it's being exposed to. Wood is no different. It experiences thermal swelling and shrinking. And the irony is that the reason we hear this popping and cracking so much is it actually expands as things warm up in the spring quicker than it contracts in the fall in the cold weather. So everything's moving a little bit quicker as things warm up in your attic than they do. They're moving more, they're moving quicker than they are in the fall. So it can be a lot of things. When we went to non-load-bearing walls in our Arizona homes and started trussing from the outside of the wall to the outside of the wall, and no wall inside was load-bearing at all, we allowed the trusses to basically float over the top of those non-bearing walls. And then in time, we started putting truss clips on those walls, holding them somewhat steady. Those truss clips can be notorious for causing the popping and the squeaking as the wood expands or contracts. But a visual inspection, we can actually look at a truss member, and if it's a cracked piece of wood, that one piece of wood can be causing the same problem as well. So I talked to Dave Pounders, and he says, you know what, Rosie, when people approach us with this dilemma, here's what we tell them. We can come out and do a structural engineer analysis as visual inspection and probably recommend a solution for you that's going to involve something in between $3,500 and $5,000. That's going to involve a carpenter up in the attic for some amount of time, sawing, cutting, nailing, possibly even gluing. $3,500 to $5,000. But we never do that without telling the homeowner we have a 50% chance of reducing the noise by 50%. So I said, well, David, it's obvious to me how you would solve it. He says, yeah, it's very obvious, but that's a $30,000 solution. And if it's driving you so insane that budget is not an issue and you want it solved, you will actually hire an insulation company to come in and evacuate all the blown-in insulation in your attic. You will seal the attic up 100%, and then you will spray foam insulate the bottom of your roof deck in a process we call cathedral insulation. And it's expensive. But I guarantee you this one thing, Sha. Your roof ain't going to pop, crack, or squeak no more.
It sounds like I talked to a woman in Tucson and a gentleman in Phoenix who both had the issue,
yes.
Have the issue.
Yeah.
And it's just totally distracting. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. It can be very loud in the middle of the night, in any time. So they may just be willing to do that.
I mean, what's worse than right in the middle of double jeopardy thinking your ceiling is going to fall in on your head?
Or waking up to that sound.
Or waking up to that sound. Exactly. So that's the source of the problem. That's one of the sources. There are many things that can be causing the problem. But if you're suffering that and you need a solution, we've done enough research, we can kind of help you out. So don't, like we do in every other thing, we research it to the point we find the right answer and we hand deliver it to you, the Arizona homeowner, to do with it what you choose. That's how we become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House. We're here to help you answer any question you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. I can tell you we cleared a couple lines here, and the lines are open if you'd like to dial in. My wife, sweet Jennifer, of 46 years, will take your call, put you on air, and you can ask your question for the benefit of yourself and all of those who are tuned in and listening.
I still feel like 35 or 40. I don't know how we're married 46, but here we go. Hey, I have some red notebook for you.
Another 46, and I'm going to have you trained up
the
way I
want
you.
Mm-hmm. So you want the hardest one first? I think I will after that statement. So there's a homeowner, potential homeowner. They want to buy a home.
Okay.
And in the disclosure, they were told that there is lead paint in the home.
Okay.
And so this person spoke to both of our painters, ACP and Arizona Paint, and they asked, you know, hey, if we just paint over it, will that take care of the lead? And they said, no, painting over lead paint will not abate the lead. So if it were you, Rosie, you know, how would you go about finding out how much it would cost to have that lead abatement done, and would it be worth it?
Any home built before about 1970 can very well have lead paint, for sure. So are you going to not buy the home in the location you want because it has lead paint? Lead abatement has become a trade mastered by several contractors. I would not, if it was a location and a floor plan that just flipped my switch, that would not stop me from buying the house.
You feel like with the people who specialize in it, they could resolve that issue completely and you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. A house that old very well may be getting purchased for a little remodel anyway. So a lot of the problem may go away, updating doors and baseboards and floors and linoleum mastics and whatnot. And what the homeowner was confused about is that we test for lead and we test for asbestos on older homes. And in asbestos, it's legal, fully legal for us to encapsulate it with paint. So if you've got the old popcorn ceiling that tests positive for asbestos, we can repaint right over it. We don't have to go in and do the asbestos abatement. But you cannot encapsulate lead paint. So that has to be eliminated. It must be abated.
Just so
that's my bottom line. It's a bottom line. Well, here's the real bottom line. I need to know if the husband or the wife is asking this question. Because if it's the husband asking the question, all I got to tell him is, does your wife want the house? Then buy the house.
For the wife, you're going to have to convince her it's safe after it's done.
Well, that's true.
Well, and I wasn't there when they did the whole lead thing, but from what I've heard secondhand, I haven't researched, they were doing it like under the guise that, like, you keep your infant from licking the paint, right?
That's chewing, licking, ingesting. Yes, that is.
You have to ingest it to be sick?
I've never seen one of my four kids eat walls,
but
or lick walls.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember doing it as a kid or any of my five siblings.
Well, y'all never did, but I remember a lot of your friends.
You know, I could picture that in the older homes in the Midwest with a sill that the kid could get to, but
I remember
you would never assume that.
In the 70s, there was a PSA that aired on TV all over the place. Don't let your kids eat paint chips. I'm not kidding. And I'm going to look it up on YouTube, but it was something.
Now, you got to tell me one thing there, Shad. Did that only run in Lafayette?
Oh, no. No. That ran it off, what is it, 8 Lafayettes that was in the country. Oh, no, I'm sure somebody's listening that is of age that remembers that. But I still, to this day, laugh and go, wow, that's a PSA I never thought I'd see.
That's for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's the reason it was banned for health, I mean, it seems like a pretty easily avoidable problem.
Well, as a governing body, you can't assume all parents are going to raise their kids not to do that. And the health implications and consequences of lead ingestion is serious enough that you don't want your home to be a possible contaminant of that product. Now, if you want to argue asbestos abatement, I'll sit down and argue that with you all day long. But lead's scary. Lead's a scary product, so it's good to have it mitigated if you have it at your home. Another question we got here is, hey, I've got heavy roll-up shades that I want to hang on stucco. How do I do that? What anchoring devices do I use? How can I be sure it's going to carry the 50-pound load I'm mounting up there? Well, we'll talk about that in the next segment. I'll talk you through how to hang something heavy, whether it's a masonry wall or what we call a silly sticks and stucco wall. You can do it.
Cecilia wants to talk about air conditioning. Jeff wants to talk about aluminum. But first, we're going to start with Chris of Same Day Garage Door Service, who's joining us to talk about our weekly to-do. It's a maintenance item we tackle here in the third segment of the 10 o'clock hour. Every week, something you, the homeowner, can do around your home, castle, or cabin to keep up with the maintenance on your home. And if you get our weekly newsletter, you know we're talking the ups and downs of garage door care. Chris and his brother Pete were on with us just a few months ago talking garage doors. But let's hit the quick highlights, Chris. And thanks for spending a few minutes of your Saturday morning. What elements of the garage door can the homeowner be inspecting and looking through themselves?
Good morning, everybody. I'm sure the first biggest question on most homeowners' minds might be why it's so noisy. Is that what you've heard?
You know, the funny thing about that, it always reminds me of a good friend who we put the silent garage door in and hated it because that was her alarm that her husband was home because he had the late night shift. So she's like, I never know when he's home now because I can't hear him come in. I need my old cranky, loud garage door. Well, that was my alarm to get up.
That's right. No more sneaking home. Well, deferred maintenance. You hear that in a lot of businesses about vehicles and important machinery, but it's the same thing with your home garage door. It needs to have a regular maintenance in order to run smoothly and correctly.
And what elements of maintenance are we looking at here?
All right. So once or twice a year for most homeowners is good. There's a few moving parts in the garage door that need a little bit of spray, just not a whole lot, just enough to keep it from rubbing metal on metal. So you've got your hinges, your spraying system up top, which does all the work of lifting your door. There's a few moving parts on most garage door motors. If there's metal on metal, a little bit of spray lube is all you need.
And y'all have a particular type of lube, and this isn't your granddaddy's WD-40 you're using.
Oh yeah, keep that away from this. You want usually a white lithium grease or a good silicone, something that's going to stay and not evaporate, last half a year.
Half a year?
Yeah, at least. Yeah, a lot of people see the lubrication on their door. It starts to turn yellow after time. That's just normal. But when you spray it on there and it gets into all the moving parts, it starts out really fine. It thickens after a few minutes, and then it stops the metal from touching the other metal, and the parts that move don't make as much noise.
Now, do I need to apply this to the wheel or the hinge or both?
Absolutely. Do not put lubrication in the tracks or on the wheel of the rollers. You just want it on the metal parts that touch other metal parts.
So the hinges and the bearings that are attached to the door, nothing inside the track.
Correct. The hinge is on the door. Overhead motors, you'll have a rail with a moving part that slides on the rail. You want a little bit of lube in there. The springs, you'll want to have some lubrication on the springs themselves. You can increase their service life by up to 40% by keeping them lubricated.
Wow.
And you only want to do that when the door's closed because you don't want to get lubrication sprayed on the outside of your door, which could happen by mistake if you're spraying the springs while the door is open.
And I don't get this question nearly like I used to. So I don't know if the sensors are just better, but certain times of the year, depending on the layout of the home, we would get calls, my garage door won't close, my garage door won't close. And it was the sun shining into the safety sensor so much that it couldn't receive the laser from the other side, and it was whiting it out, so you just had to figure out a way to shade the sensors to close the door. We haven't gotten that question, I don't know, in years. Are the sensors just that much better now?
I wish it was a laser. It's really a very diffuse infrared light beam.
Okay.
Kind of like a small flashlight. If you have a home that faces north, your garage door faces north, then you have no sun issues almost at all. But if you have the sun during certain times of the day shining down and overpowering the small infrared light beam, that is a possibility. The sensors get older. The transmitter does become weak with age. After 10 or 12 years, probably it might be time for a new set of sensors, maybe a new motor. A lot of times, and this happens a lot. A lot of people keep their recyclable and garbage containers in the garage near the end, and moving them in and out, they might just bump their little safety sensors down there at the bottom without realizing it, and then their door won't close.
And that's a pretty easy fix, realigning it, but the infrared mm-hmm. beam's invisible, so it's like, how do you even know that you're getting it lined up? You just got to keep sitting there playing with it and pushing the door until it operates correctly.
Almost all of the safety eyes have a small LED light on them to let you know that you have a good connection. And the light will either, depending on the brand, just turn off or start to flash if there's not a straight connection. So with all brands, no matter what the colors you have, if you have a solid light, a little LED light on each side, then you have a good connection.
And that's right on top of the sensor, not on top looking straight down, but
you can usually see it from standing in the back of your garage.
And those indicators let you, the homeowner, know these sensors are receiving each other. So if those lights are on and the garage doors still won't close, it's a different problem we're facing.
Probably it could be a although the lights might be solid, you might have just enough of a break in the connection between the light beam that it flickers a little bit, and the human eye might not pick that up. There could be some physical resistance as the motor tries to close, makes the torque kick back up.
And if somebody comes out into their home, hits the garage door to try and leave the home and it won't open, real quick, just walk through manually overriding and getting out of the garage so you can get on to, you know, wherever your destination was.
Right. So it usually opens okay, but when it won't close, a lot of times you can press your wall button. Yeah, you can't do this from the car. You have to go inside and stand up next to the control. Press the wall button. If it rejects closing, a lot of times the light will start to flash or it'll make a sound. Then you press the button again and hold it down and continue to hold it while the door starts to move and close. It's bypassing the safety sensors. So make sure you have your eyes on where the door is. Make sure it's not going to close on anybody or anything. And hold that button down until the door stops moving. And then you have to leave the old-fashioned way through the front door.
All right, that's the ups and downs of Garage Door. Chris Brown, Same Day Garage Door. You can find him at rosieonthehouse.com. That's your weekly to-do, facing some element of maintenance around your home, castle, or cabin. And we try and remember to do that in the third segment of the 10 o'clock hour every week. I won't say I'm perfect at always remembering.
Let's bring Cecilia into the conversation, who's calling from Tucson. Let's see how we can help Miss Cecilia around her house today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have actually two questions, if I may.
Okay.
The first one is regarding my air conditioner.
Okay.
I won a free service at the Tucson Home Show.
Okay.
And the company came out to do the free service. And then they told me that they asked me the age of my Lennox. And I told them it was 2017, so it's not very old. But he said after the first 2 years, they needed to inject a lubricant in some line inside the AC unit. It's on the ground.
Okay.
And the lubricant, he said, had to be injected after the second year of service in order for the compressor to be well oiled. So I said, okay, go ahead and inject it. And he said it should be good for 5 years, and it was $400.
What's your second question?
The second question is regarding I have a leak in the roof of my house, and I've had my homeowner's insurance come out and take a look at it. And also an independent roofer as well. And what they've discovered is that evidently there's a leak under my solar panels. And what they have approved is hail damage, which is something in the neighborhood of $2,000. And the roofers, the independent roofers, tell me it's going to be in the neighborhood of $20,000. To repair.
Okay. All right.
Miss
Cecilia, you are familiar with the radio show you've got in. I'm not going to pass judgment on anybody you've had at your house so far. But everything about that air conditioning repair and charge smells really, really fishy to me. And I want, for the benefit of everyone that's listening, I want you to hear me really clear. There has been an incredible trend in the air conditioning industry plumbing industry and electrical industry in Arizona of turning technicians into commissioned salespeople. So when you're getting free services, I think you need to be really careful about why are they coming out to my house for free. If you're in Pima County, I can tell you we only have two Rosie certified air conditioning contractors, Temperature Control right in Tucson and Green Valley Cooling and Heating down in Green Valley. Now, if you're not dealing with one of those two, I'm going to be really, really suspicious of that repair bill. And as far as the repair bill, I don't do insurance work at my remodeling company because I have such a hard time talking to insurance adjusters as to what's fair. I would tell you again, you're familiar with the show. You're familiar with our brand. I would get you to our website and look at roofers in Pima County for Rosie on the House and get Lyons Roofing, get West Coast Roofing out and have them take a look at it as to what the real cost is going to be. Solar panels absolutely complicate roofing repairs. There's just no getting around that. And they have to have the solar contractor come disassemble the system, repair the roof, and the solar company come back and reassemble the system. But unless you're dealing with a Rosie certified partner, I'm not in a position to judge whether that's a fair price or not. I hope that helps. I hope you'll get in touch with some Rosie certified contractors to help you in both of those regards. And if at the time you do, you still have questions, give me a ring. Jennifer and I actually are going to run to Sierra Vista next weekend, and we can stop and take a look at it on the way down or on the way back. Be happy to do that for you. We're going to go on a quick break, and we've got Andrew and Jeff. Jeff also calling from Tucson right when we get back. Real quick, let's see if we can take a couple more calls here. Let's go. Let's stay in Tucson and go to Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. What are you trying to get done around the house today?
Good morning. My wife and I own a 29-year-old stucco house with a tile roof, and we're getting estimates to get it painted. And one of the contractors made a recommendation for something called fascia wrap for the wooden trim, where they attach this thin aluminum tinted sheet to the wood, and you're not supposed to have to paint it again. But we have some concerns about the look of it. Is it going to warp over time? Are there going to be obvious seams? Does it do well in our climate? And does it really live up to the expectations, I guess?
Generally speaking, I think you find that it will. Make sure the wood you're wrapping is in decent condition. It's got a good exterior sealer on it. Don't cover rotten wood, but a nice aluminum fascia wrap, you can count on it being straight, clean, and looking good. If it's installed handsomely for the lifetime of your roof, it's a great product, and you never have to paint and or repair your fascia again. So I'd give it a thumbs up. Let's see if we can go to Andrew real quick. Wants to talk about dishwashers, and I'm going to have to make this really fast. Andrew.
I know it's a loaded question. You don't normally do it, but I'm trying to figure out, do I buy or replace? There's no power going to the dishwasher, to Aurora, which says GE all over it. We check the outlet in terms of the box, and there's power there, but I can't get anything to light up. I saw some type of reboot type of thing on the internet. That's not working. So, and then from the, I think it's the schematic type of thing where if you want to replace that, the motherboard type of thing, it's like $100 or something like that. But I don't know whether it's worth it to replace that or just buy new.
Well, here's what we're going to do. Put Andrew on hold, but don't lose him. I want to save his phone number. Andrew, we've got an appliance repair technician servicing the Phoenix metro area by the name of Beyer Appliance, B-E-Y-E-R. And I would tell you, I'd like to get Beyer out there with one of their techs and have them take a look at it for you and tell you whether or not it's worth repairing, given the age of it, the condition of it, and what it is you're trying to get done with your dishwasher. A good dishwasher, they have a sanitized cycle, they have a steaming dry cycle, they have a crystal water absorbing cycle, so when you open it, everything's dry. We have a brand that we particularly like. It comes from Europe. It's German. It's Bosch. But we've been putting in Bosch dishwashers for years. But they're $1,600 to $1,800. And it'll last you 30, 40 years. But let's get Beyer Appliance out to your house. Rosie's going to pay for it. And I just want to thank Daniel Beyer because he has gone above and beyond in solving a couple appliance dilemmas for Arizona homeowners in the Maricopa County area the last couple weeks. You have a need for appliance repair or service or checking, just remember Beyer Appliance. They're the only ones listed at Rosie on the House. And my hat's off, tip of the hat to Dan Beyer for doing all he's done to go above and beyond for Arizona homeowners, in particular, these last couple weeks. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. It's what being Rosie on the House is all about in our effort to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. Woo! That's a power pack 3 hours.
If you have questions between now and next week, rosieonthehouse.com, R-O-S-I-E, onthehouse.com. Or like Rosie said, it's a 3-hour broadcast. If you missed any part of it, you can visit that website and click on the podcast. Catch up.